Here, then, are seven narratives of nature and the human spirit, as these have collided in unexpected ways. The people in this book have been visited by neurological conditions as diverse as Tourette syndrome, autism, amnesia, and total color blindness. They exemplify these conditions. They are cases in the traditional medical sense, but equally they are unique individuals, each of whom inhabits and in a sense has created a world of his own. These are tales of survival, survival under altered, sometimes radically altered, conditions. Survival made possible by the wonderful but sometimes dangerous powers of reconstruction and adaptation we have. In earlier books, I wrote of the preservation of self, and more rarely of the loss of self in neurological disorders. I have come to think that these terms are too simple, and that there is neither loss nor preservation of identity in such situations, but rather its adaptation, even its transmutation, given a radically altered brain and reality. The study of disease, for the physician, demands the study of identity, the inner worlds that patients, under the spur of illness, create. But the realities of patients, the ways in which they and their brains construct their own worlds, cannot be comprehended wholly from the observation of behavior, from the outside. In addition to the objective approach of the scientist, the naturalist, we must employ an intersubjective approach too, leaping, as Foucault writes, into the interior of morbid consciousness, trying to see the pathological world with the eyes of the patient himself. The exploration of deeply altered selves and worlds is not one that can be fully made in a consulting room or office. The French neurologist François Lhermitte is especially sensitive to this, and instead of just observing his patients in the clinic, he makes a point of visiting them at home, taking them to restaurants or theatres, or for rides in his car, sharing their lives as much as possible. It is similar, or was similar, with physicians in general practice. Thus, when my father was reluctantly considering retirement at 90, we said, "At least drop the house calls." But he answered, "No, I'll keep the house calls. I'll drop everything else instead." With this in mind, I have taken off my white coat, deserted by and large the hospitals where I've spent the last 35 years, to explore my subjects' lives as they live in the real world, feeling in part like a naturalist examining rare forms of life, in part like an anthropologist, a neuroanthropologist in the field, but most of all like a physician called here and there to make house calls at the far borders of human experience. The seven tales that follow are all, in a way, extended house calls.
The universe is not only queerer than we imagine, but queerer than we can imagine. J.B.S. Haldane. Ask not what disease the person has, but rather what person the disease has. Attributed to William Osler. Preface. I am writing this with my left hand, although I am strongly right-handed. I had surgery to my right shoulder a month ago, and I'm not permitted, not capable of, use of the right arm at this time. I write slowly, awkwardly, but more easily, more naturally with each passing day. I am adapting, learning all the while, not merely this left-handed writing, but a dozen other left-handed skills as well. I have also become very adept, prehensile, with my toes, to compensate for having one arm in a sling. I was quite off balance for a few days when the arm was first immobilized, but now I walk differently. I have discovered a new balance. I am developing different patterns, different habits, a different identity, one might say, at least in this particular sphere. There must be changes going on with some of the programs and circuits in my brain, altering synaptic weights and connectivities and signals, though our methods of brain imaging are still too crude to show these. Though some of my adaptations are deliberate,